Hey everyone, husband here.
And I'm wife. If you've been listening to us, then you know we're all about reading the Bible and reacting to it on our first read-through. Cuss words, crying, laughing, and more.
We're passionate about creating a podcast that takes the sanctity out of the sacred text and simply stating it as we see it.
But we can't do it without your help. We're asking for your support to help us keep this podcast going.
There are two ways you can donate.
Text SACDIS, that's SACDIS, to 533-555 if you're in the U.S. with a one-time donation. Any amount helps.
Or if you'd rather start a sustaining membership, sign up on our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse. Membership levels start as low as $2 a month.
We are amazed and grateful for our fans that support us now, and you can become one too.
With your support, we can keep Sacrilegious Discourse alive and well for years to come.
So please donate today.
Text SACDIS to 533-555 if you're in the U.S.
Or sign up for our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
I'm husband.
And I'm wife.
Together, we're reading the Bible for the very first time.
We grew up without religion and wanted to know what all the fuss was about.
Well, what have we learned so far?
That God is a dick, and apparently some people believe in talking donkeys.
We're not trying to pass ourselves off as experts.
Nope, we're just reading the Bible for the first time and giving our first take reaction.
If you'd like to join us in this venture, you might consider starting at episode 1.
Otherwise, jump in wherever you like.
All right, let's go read the Bible.
Yeah, let's get to it. Husband!
Wife!
Do you remember what happened like a week ago?
Well, I had to look it up.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it has been some time and we've had a few things happen between now and then, like moving to a new place.
Across the city.
Fuck. Anyway, so yeah, the genocide got canceled.
Canceled the genocide.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. And then apparently everybody was so scared of the Jewish people that they started converting to Judaism.
Right. Actually, I thought I would read the last couple sentences of chapter 8 before we head into chapter 9.
Sure.
Okay. And the city of Susa held a joyous celebration. For the Jews, it was a time of happiness and joy, gladness and honor in every province and in every city to which the edict of the king came. The edict being cancel the genocide.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And also the Jews could defend themselves and kill anybody who comes in their
Hell
way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
There was joy and gladness among the Jews with feasting and celebrating. And many people of other nationalities became Jews because fear of the Jews had seized them.
Yeah.
Fair
fear.
Enough.
I mean, yeah. That's a good reason to become religious is fear.
I know. I always convert to a new religion when I'm scared of the old one.
Definitely. Yeah. The fear always helps.
Yes. Fear. For sure. Fear. Fear that God.
Right. All right. So that was Esther chapter 8.
Sure as fuck was.
From forever ago.
Yes.
And today we're going to be reading
Esther chapter 9.
Let's go do this.
Okie dokie. Okay, Esther, chapter 9.
Okay.
On the 13th day of the 12th month, the month of Adar,
okay,
the edict commanded by the king was to be carried out.
Wait, but that got canceled, right?
Well, yeah, but...
But some of those horsemen didn't make it, huh?
Yeah, you can't... It's not a Facebook post. You can't just take it back and hope nobody...
Right.
Saw it. They're or like, hope that
but I got all these weapons and all these people. We were ready to kill everybody.
Some people are still going to be murdery. Mm. And that's why the Jews were given an edict that they're allowed to defend themselves and go murdery.
Got it. Okay. Yeah.
On this day, the enemies of the Jews had hoped to overpower them. But now the tables were turned.
Yeah, they were.
And the Jews got the upper hand over those who hated them.
Okay. Having the ability to fight back does not necessarily give you the upper hand.
Well, okay, I'm going to say that probably what happened is some people got the message and were like, you know what, I'm going to sit out. And I think some people were probably like, I'm not sure about all this back and forth and what? So I'm going to sit out.
Okay.
And I think only the meanest ones were probably like, no, I like murder, so I'm still going to go murder because I got permission. And I think... All the Jews got the message.
Well, I would say based on Haman, that there must have been some resentfulness towards Jewish people in that
and
time.
I would think that Jewish people likewise had a little bit of resentment themselves.
More than likely.
Being on the bottom sucks.
Right, right.
And being pressed upon people sucks.
Right,
so
right.
I'm sure they were like, rise up, hail to the yeah.
Sure.
And whatever they may have lacked in number and skill, they sure as fuck did not lack in eagerness to strike back.
Well, and don't forget, this is the Bible, so obviously they have God on their side.
Well, duh. The Jews assembled. Jews assemble! In their cities, in all the provinces of King Xerxes, to attack those determined to destroy them.
Mm. See? Wait, they aren't. This isn't even defense. They're like, we're going to attack them.
Yeah.
Okay.
They were given permission.
All right.
The king was like, go nuts, man.
I guess.
Yeah. No one could stand against them because the people of all the other nationalities were fucking afraid of them. Well, they should be.
Yeah.
And all the nobles of the provinces, the satraps, the governors, and the king's administrators helped the Jews because fear of Mordecai had seized them. Because Mordecai's a friend of the king now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mordecai was prominent in the palace. His reputation spread throughout the provinces quickly, like over fucking night.
Apparently, is what it sounds like.
And he became more and more powerful because he was raised up in position.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he took Haman's place. He took Haman's estate, remember? And he took his position of power.
Right. Plus, he saved the king. And the king's like, you know, you saved me. So thanks, man.
Yep. Jews are awesome.
Yeah.
Is what he's saying now.
I guess.
King kind of sways with the wind, it sounds
king
like.
King doesn't give a fuck.
No.
He's like, whatever. You saved me. Now I'm on your side. So whatever. Yep.
The Jews struck down all their enemies with the sword, killing and destroying them. And they did what they pleased to those who hated them.
Wow, that sounds not godly-like.
That sounds like
nice in any way whatsoever.
Eager to shed blood,
right?
Doesn't sound godly. That sounds mean.
What they like sounds a little bit more nefarious, even than that.
Yeah,
so.
Like I'm not down for like this whole like cruel retribution.
Right?
Thing.
Yeah. No, this is not okay.
Yeah. In the citadel of Susa, the Jews killed and destroyed 500 men. They also killed Parshandatha, Dalphon, Aspatha, Poratha, Adaliah, Aradatha, Parmashta, Arasai, Aradai, and Visatha, the 10 sons of Haman, son of Hammedatha.
I see.
The enemy
so
of the Jews.
They specifically took vengeance on Haman's family.
Yeah, Haman's already
dead, so they're shitty,
and I'm going to kill you too.
Like, obviously, they got the note. They were there, like they were in that area where the king was like, no, don't kill the Jews, right?
Yeah.
So the Jews were like, But we're allowed to kill you now. So they're just taking vengeance.
Yes, I am going to go out on a limb here and defend the action to kill these sons because, and it pains me to say this, but given these times, those sons would surely have grown up to come after them.
I suppose you could look at it that way, but it's not, this is not a godly act.
No, oh no.
This is not a,
it's not
mercy. This no, is not, this is, not. This is pure and simple spite and retribution.
Yes, it is. I totally agree with you.
And hate.
Yes, yes. I'm not at all trying to say it was the right move. I am trying to say it was the practical move because those sons definitely would have grown up saying, "You killed my father, prepare to die."
I get your point, but we're reading the Bible.
Yeah.
And the Bible is supposed to have messages of what God wants and what God stands for.
Apparently not. God is a jealous God. They tell you this all the time. Jod is a...
Jod.
God is a dick. God is a son of a bitch. God is a rat bastard full of anger and fear mongering. And oh, this goes to that point.
Do you remember
point.
We watched Supernatural.
We did.
And the other night when we were watching it, Dean was like, "God's a dick."
Yeah. And I told
and I'm like,
you,
I need to get that
you
on
need
the fucking
to get
clip.
That clip. Yeah. 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 So anyway, but they did not lay their hands on the plunder. So see, they were just out for blood. They were not out for like...
That doesn't make it better.
Looting.
It doesn't make it better.
That's what I'm saying. They were just out for blood.
Right.
The number of those killed in the citadel of Susa was reported to the king that same day. The king said to Queen Esther, the Jews have killed and destroyed 500 men and the 10 sons of Haman in the citadel of Susa. What have they done in the rest of the king's provinces? Now, what is your petition? It will be given you. What is your request? It will also be granted.
Sounds like he's... It almost sounds like he's reeling at the power of the Jewish people at this point.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I did not
I set see. Loose a fucking monster here.
He's like, hurry, what is it that you wanted? And you can have it.
Right,
because
but
don't
could you
kill
please
me.
Stop killing all the people in my kingdom?
And also don't kill me.
Right.
Right? If it pleases the king, Esther answered, give the Jews in Susa permission to carry out this day's edict tomorrow also.
Oh.
And let Haman's 10 sons, you know, be impaled on poles.
Oh my God.
Right?
This is disgusting.
It really is.
I mean, it's, I don't know.
It's totally biblical, man.
Right. I mean, I would expect this from God.
Yeah.
But like, this is just God's people just rampaging, basically.
Yep. So the king commanded that this be done because I bet he did.
Right.
An edict was issued in Susa, and they impaled the 10 sons of Haman, who were already dead, I will remind you.
Right. Yeah.
The Jews in Susa came together on the 14th day of the month of Adar, and they put to death in Susa 300 men.
Good God.
But they did not lay their hands on the plunder.
So wow, that makes it all okay.
But apparently, they were making it known clearly what they were after. And it was not opportunistic, and it was not to loot, and it was not to take over. It was specifically to show, hey, we're just trying to fucking live over here.
No, but I mean, okay. All right. Not Mordecai. Haman, right? Mm-hmm. He's advocating to kill the Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe for good reason. Given the opportunity, they did the exact same thing to him and his family.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I'm not condoning either act, okay? No. But
maybe all of those people all sucked, is
right?
What I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like in the, am I the asshole? What is the one where they say, you're all assholes here?
Look, if somebody was trying to plan to kill me and then they didn't and then they ended up dead, I'm not going to go kill their fucking family. I'm not going to plan to kill 500, 800 people.
No, you're just going to be like, that worked out well.
Yeah, right?
Cool.
I mean, I don't know the exact circumstances, but this seems a little much.
It is a lot much.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so next little section here.
Okay.
Meanwhile, back at the ranch. Anyways, meanwhile, the remainder of the Jews who were in the king's provinces also assembled to protect themselves and get relief from their enemies.
Mm-hmm.
They killed 75,000 of them, but did not lay their hands on the plunder.
Wait. Did you just say 75,000?
I sure as fuck did.
So with three zeros. Uh-huh. 75 and then three zeros?
Well, what it says here is the words 75 and then 1,000. Oh, yeah.
But so 75 fucking thousand people.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's like a population.
Right?
Yeah. This happened on the 13th day of the month of Adar, and on the 14th they rested and made it a day of feasting and joy.
Oh, yeah, as you would after you kill 75,000 fucking people. What?
Do you think they washed the blood off of their hands before they ate?
Probably, because they'd probably be unclean otherwise or some bullshit.
I doubt it. I think that they reveled in
licking
blood.
The goddamn swords.
Mm-hmm. The Jews in Susa, however, had assembled on the 13th and 14th, and then on the 15th, they rested and made it a day of feasting and joy.
Boy.
That is why rural Jews, those living in villages, observe the 14th of the month of Adar as a day of joy and feasting, a day for giving presents to each other.
Mm, yeah.
Well, yay! We just killed people. Let's exchange gifts, Mary. Merry Death Day.
I'm very curious if this holiday is still celebrated.
It is. It's called Purim.
Oh, my God.
It's much like...
Oh.
No, I was going to say something, but I take it back. It's a day that they celebrate their freedom, that they were allowed to fight back. They were literally given permission to defend themselves and fight back.
All right. 75,000 fucking people died.
That was just in the one city. What? You look appalled. What?
I am appalled. This is, I mean, like, the entire religion is based around celebrating how many people they killed.
Well, no, the religion, the celebration was not about killing people.
I understand.
That happened, yes.
But look, their other freedom, right, was Passover, right?
Mm-hmm.
When they marked their places, so then God killed all the fucking firstborn of Egypt.
Yeah.
Yay, let's celebrate all the goddamn firstborn of Egypt dying. Ooh, hey, we won our freedom. We killed 75,000 people. Presents for everybody. It's fucking sick.
It is, but that's not, that is what happened, but that's not what they're celebrating.
Okay. All right.
It's nuance.
Yeah, it's nuance.
Okay. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Mordecai recorded these events, and he sent letters to all the Jews throughout the provinces of King Xerxes near and far, to have them celebrate annually the 14th and 15th days of the month of Adar as the time when the Jews got relief from their enemies and as the month when their sorrow was turned into joy and their mourning into a day of celebration. He wrote them to observe the days as days of feasting and joy and giving presents of food to one another and gifts to the poor. So the Jews agreed to continue the celebration they had begun, doing what Mordecai had written to them. For Haman, son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had plotted against the Jews to destroy them and had cast the pur, that is the lot, for their ruin and destruction. But when the plot came to the king's attention, he issued written orders that the evil scheme Haman had devised against the Jews should come back onto his own head.
Not true.
And that he and his son should be impaled on poles.
No, he actually condoned it when it came to his attention. He said, go for it, man.
Mm-hmm.
And it took Esther two feasts and bringing up, you know, and the king finding out that Mordecai saved his life from an assassination.
Mm-hmm.
It took all that to save the Jewish people from this so-called, this destruction that was going to happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just switches sides and said, hey, you guys go destroy everybody else that was going to destroy you now. He didn't give a fuck. He just likes people destroying each other, apparently.
Well, no, he didn't say you all have permission to destroy them back. What he said was, I can't take back the previous order. It's already been given. But what I can do is create a new order that says you're allowed to defend yourself and to murder any who come at you.
But this wasn't defense.
No, it wasn't.
This was not. There was no words of a battle forming against them. They went out and killed people.
Yes, I totally agree with
you.
I'm just trying to make sure that the exact words are taken into account.
Sure.
And that, like, I want to be pissed at the right things.
Okay? All right.
I'm not trying to nitpick, and I'm not trying to defend the Bible. I just want to be, there's enough to be mad about without making, you know, mixed up stories and stuff.
All right.
Okay?
Okay.
Okay. Because of everything written in this letter, and because of what they had seen and what had happened to them, the Jews took it on themselves to establish the custom that they and their descendants and all who joined them should without fail observe these 2 days every year in the way prescribed and at the time appointed. These days should be remembered and observed in every generation by every family and in every province and in every city. And these days of Purim, which
the holiday, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Should never fail to be celebrated by the Jews, nor should the memory of these days die out among their descendants. So Queen Esther, daughter of Abihail, along with Mordecai the Jew, wrote with full authority to confirm this second letter concerning Purim. And Mordecai sent letters to all the Jews in the 127 provinces of Xerxes' kingdom, words of goodwill and assurance to establish these days of Purim at their designated times, as Mordecai the Jew and Queen Esther had decreed for them, and as they had established for themselves and their descendants in regard to their times of fasting and lamentation. Esther's decree confirmed these regulations about Purim, and it was written down in the records, the end.
Got it.
So now it's a law.
Right, right. But it's funny to me, like, you know, as much as I was bitching about the killing and everything else,
mm-hmm.
this is, you know, based on other research that we did, mm-hmm. this is based on a fictional story.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really weird. Like, somebody just wrote a story about this, and then they to explain the holiday.
Yeah.
To explain the holiday.
Yes.
That's just weird.
Yeah. After we finish the next chapter tomorrow.
Yeah.
And we do our wrap up, we will talk more about the holiday.
Okay.
Because, yes, that is what this story was for.
Got it. Got it. All right. Well, that was Esther chapter 9.
Sure as fuck was.
And tomorrow we will be back with
Esther chapter 10.
We'll see you guys then.
Yep. Bye. Husband.
Wife.
Do you remember what happened yesterday for realsies?
Yeah. The Jewish people decided to kill a fuck ton of people.
They sure as fuck did.
And then they partied afterwards.
They sure as fuck did.
Yeah.
How fun! Whee! I love going out to dinner after I bloodshed.
Mmm. Good stuff.
Murder. Good old Purim. Yummy! Good
times.
Mmm. Yum, 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 yum.
Yeah. So that was Esther chapter 9.
Yes, it was.
And today we're going to be reading
Esther chapter 10.
All right. Let's go do this.
Okie dokie. Okay, Esther chapter 10.
Okay.
But I have to tell you something. It's like super de-duper short.
Yeah.
So I'm going to read it real slow.
Let's not.
No.
Let's just read it and see what happens. You know, maybe it'll just be a nice break for us since we had all this moving shit that we've been doing.
Yes, I know. I was just letting you know up front that it's super short.
Like if we just read it, we'd be done in like 30 seconds.
We'd already be done.
Yeah. Sorry for wasting your time.
Okay, ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. King Xerxes imposed tribute throughout the empire to its distant shores.
Okay.
Because, you know, he had that big old land. All those land that belonged to him.
Tribute. Is it tribute like in like the Hunger Games where they have to like
where each one of the little nations had to give up a tribute.
Right. Is that what tribute is?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. He imposed tribute.
Okay.
I'm guessing like taxes. So yeah, kind of like, right, Hunger, kind of like Games. Hunger Games. But instead of giving me one of your kids to play in the Hunger Games and die. Instead,
well, but they didn't
give
just
me
give,
taxes.
They didn't just give, like, the kids for the games. They also gave their crops or their whatever they
true.
Made.
That
so
is true.
Part
that
of their true. Tribute, quote unquote, was the goods they made.
Right, but the kids were specifically called tributes.
Right. That was to appease the, you know, warmongering among them that like to
the Capitol.
Yeah.
Snow. President
sure.
Snow.
Yeah, that was the their sick game.
Yeah. Their right. sick game. Okay, and all of his acts of power and might, together with a full account of the greatness of Mordecai, whom the king had promoted,
mm-hmm.
are they not written in the book of the annals of
are
the kings
not?
Of Media and Persia?
Are they not?
Are they not?
I don't know. Are they?
Are
not?
They? Are they not? Not are they? Mordecai the Jew was second in rank to King Xerxes, preeminent among the Jews.
I mean, he went from like Haman was like just like a guy, an official, right? He was high up there, right?
He was second in command.
Was he second?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, that's why he wanted everybody to bow to him.
Oh, okay.
Except for in that one story where it was like, and he also had an idol that he wore on his breast.
That wasn't actually in the Bible, but
right. it was in one of the Midrashim.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so preeminent among the Jews and held in high esteem by his many fellow Jews because he worked for the good of his people and spoke up.
For them?
For the welfare.
Are you dragging this out on purpose?
Of all the Jews. The end.
Wow. Okay.
Yes,
so I was. So just one last little shot of, hey, Mordecai was awesome.
He was great. Yeah. He was really pretty great. He did great and was great.
That's pretty great.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to like drag it out a little.
Because that's literally it.
That's it.
And now we're done.
Not only is that the last bit of this chapter.
That's the last of Esther.
Yeah.
That's
Esther's
it.
Done.
We're done with Esther.
Esther's done.
And now we know what Purim is, and we know that the Jewish people in this fictional story killed lots of fucking people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, Mordecai's awesome, apparently.
He thinks he is. People think he is.
Right. And Xerxes obviously thinks he is.
And also, Esther is held in great respect as a great woman in history in the Bible.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
So we're just talking a lot to maybe make this more than like 3 minutes. Is that basically it?
I mean, I was just trying to, you know, say some things.
Yeah, no, I get it. I feel bad. You know, like when we have an episode that's like so short like this, I'm like.
I know. Sorry, guys.
I feel like we're cheating everybody.
I know.
Sorry about that.
I didn't write this shit.
You know what, though? It gives us time to rest and go watch another, you know, episode with our kid. So
the three shows that we watch with our kid currently that we trade between are Doctor Who and Torchwood and Supernatural. And it just depends on our mood.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to do.
Right. That's what we're going to do.
Our kid did not see Torchwood. We saw Torchwood, but our kid never saw Torchwood.
Right.
The other two are just rewatches.
But also, we've been moving a lot, and we're so fucking tired.
Oh my God, you guys. Moving sucks.
It really does.
I hate it so much.
Yeah, and we got more to do.
More.
Tomorrow, especially.
More.
That's
Why?
All. I'm just sharing.
Can't it be done?
I'm oversharing.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Thank God we have a really good friend that's helping us, because otherwise,
right?
We'd be fucked. Honestly. Like, what the hell? Moving is hard.
Yeah, we say every time we're never doing this again.
Ever.
We're going to hire somebody the next time.
That's what we always say, and then we never...
Never do it.
It's never the right time.
Right.
It's never the right...
Can't do it at that time. Yeah. We'll get it next time.
Next time.
We don't want to do it next time.
No, this time we have a really good basement, and that's where all our shit is going.
Right? Yeah. So anyway, now you know way too much about our moving, and we're going to get on out of here.
Let's.
That was Esther chapter 10.
Sure as fuck was.
And the end of Esther.
You sure as fuck was.
But we'll be back. Tomorrow. I think we're doing tomorrow with a
wrap up.
Not a Q&A?
Well, I mean, there's only two chapters.
And the last one was really fucking
stupid.
Nothing. Yeah. So yeah, we'll just do a wrap up.
I mean, we'll just call it one fucking chapter and little... Tid it
You're
on the end.
Absolutely right. We're going to wrap it up.
We're going to wrap this shit up.
And then
we're
going to
talk about the Book of Esther. And I think I'm going to look up some Purim. I'm going to like find out more about the holiday itself.
Got it.
Since that's what this whole...
is about.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So we'll learn about... We'll recap the Book of Esther and we'll learn about Purim for our wrap up. And then... So that will be Wednesday...
Yeah,
this is coming out on Tuesday. Yeah,
so that'll
be Wednesday, and then Thursday will be our contradictions,
and then Friday. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
We might just take a day off.
I don't really want to start a new book on a Friday. That just seems lame.
We'll see.
Maybe we'll take Friday off, and then maybe that weekend we'll get back to our Patreon. Maybe we'll do a Patreon and a book club.
That would be a good idea.
Why don't we do a Saturday, Sunday book club and Patreon?
Well, now that we're done working this all out on our podcast.
As we do.
We'll see you guys tomorrow for the wrap up.
We sure as fuck will.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Yep. Bye. Husband.
Wife.
Guess what we're doing today?
Well, it's not a Saturday, but this isn't the Q&A. No, we're at the end of Esther.
Yeah.
So this is the wrap up.
It sure as fuck is.
Yeah. We're wrapping up Esther.
We are wrapping up the Book of Esther.
I think you said we're learning a little bit about Purim today.
Yeah, we are, but it turns out we already know about it.
So. Oh, well, there you go.
We'll talk a little bit about it specifically, though. Yeah.
All right, let's get into this.
Okie dokie. Okay, so to talk about Esther.
Okay.
Okay. So just a really quick little recap.
I mean, okay? Rehash, recap, whatever.
Whatever. Esther is a young Jewish woman living in Persia during the Babylonian exile, yep. Right? She finds favor with King Xerxes, becomes queen, and the most important part, risks her life to save the Jewish people from destruction.
Yeah.
When the court official Haman persuades the king to authorize genocide against all the Jews of the empire.
Didn't take that much persuasion.
No, but that's basically the gist of the story.
Right.
Okay. Themes include the preservation of Jewish identity while ensuring survival amid cultural pressures and hostile enemies in a foreign land.
Got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the purpose of the Book of Esther is to keep alive for later generations the memory of the great deliverance of the Jewish people during the reign of Xerxes.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's to commemorate the birth of Purim that, as a holiday.
Yeah.
And the obligation for its continued celebration.
Got it. So they invented a story about this to justify a holiday.
Yes or no, some of that stuff may have maybe kind of happened, and then the holiday is to... You're Got probably it. Right.
I mean, whatever. Any reason for a party is a good reason, right?
Right.
Sure.
And it's a great spring holiday.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So the date of composition of the book, we've kind of talked about a little bit, but here's something that we hadn't discussed.
Okay.
The festival of Purim had been observed for some time prior to the actual writing of the book.
Okay.
So, the holiday was already there.
Right. And if I recall, you said that the book was written in like 200 AD or 300 AD?
Maybe.
Okay.
The absence of Greek words and the style of the author's Hebrew dialect suggest that the book must have been written prior to the Persian Empire fall to Greece in 331. So
331 AD or BC?
AD.
AD.
Okay. So it's sometime prior to that.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the best guess is that it was written in the late Persian, early Hellenistic period, which would have been 4th century BCE. So
okay.
Is that 300s or...
Like, what?
When you say 4th century BCE, is that 300s or 500s?
I thought BCE was before Christ. Like,
the before zero.
Okay.
So, I get my, like, okay, if you say 19th century, that means 1800s, right?
Right.
So, 4th century BCE would have been 300s or?
300s, I guess.
Okay, yeah. So, I couldn't remember if it would go forwards or backwards.
Got it.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Sure.
Okay. The important part here is that this happened before Ezra's return to Jerusalem.
Okay. So that's the writing happened in 200 or 380, but the events are occurring in 500 years prior.
Maybe.
Approximately.
Maybe.
Okay.
Not sure, honestly.
All right. Well, the only reason I was asking and trying to nail you down on it is because some of the wording with regard to the words they used for Esther are very... You mentioned it when we were reading that they were very Christ-like.
Mm-hmm.
And it had, like, if they wrote it in the 200 to 300 time period, mm-hmm. that would have been when Christianity was coming to power and rise.
Right.
And so it's interesting, the wording that was used.
Yeah.
To write that, I guess. Yeah. If that's the case. If yeah. that's the case.
It's hard to say. I mean, okay. I mean, I don't know. I gathered all of this from various sources, not just Wikipedia.
Right, right.
So that makes it a little bit
There's no actual nailed down date, but right. some people might guess around 200 to 380
mm-hmm.
when it was written.
Yeah.
With the occurrences happening 500 years prior.
Exactly.
Approximately.
Exactly.
Okay.
So the author, we don't know who wrote it.
Right.
Right? But we can guess a few things.
Okay.
Okay? Based on the story itself.
Yeah.
Okay. The emphasis on the origin of a Jewish festival and the fact that there's so much Jewish nationalism throughout the story make it clear that the author was obviously Jewish.
Right.
Okay. I mean, that kind of goes without saying, but does it though?
I mean, you know.
Right. It could have just been a scholar or a historian, but it was definitely a Jewish one.
Right.
Whoever it was.
Sure.
Okay. Also, you know, the fact that they're sympathetic to the Jewish cause and not the Haman or Xerxes. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's definitely written by Jewish.
Yeah. Yeah. So they can guess that just based on the slant of the story.
Sure.
Okay, the other thing is the author's knowledge of Persian customs and the setting of the story in the city of Susa and the absence of any reference to conditions or circumstances in the land of Judah during that time suggests that he was a resident of a Persian city.
Okay.
So he was a Persian Jew.
Got it.
Okay.
Yep.
So that's pretty much what we can say about the story and the author of the story.
Okay.
Okay. So now let's talk about Purim, the holiday.
Yeah.
Itself. It's a Jewish holiday that commemorates the saving of the Jewish people from annihilation at the hands of an official of the Persian Empire named Haman, as recounted in the Book of Esther.
Okay.
That is literally what the holiday is.
Got it.
Okay. This year, it fell on sunset 6 March through nightfall 7 March. So we just missed it.
Got it.
Okay. So if we
it's good timing for when we were reading this book.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Absolutely. But if we want to celebrate it next year, it'll be sunset the 23rd of March through nightfall the 24th of March.
Okay.
Okay.
So it's based on lunar stuff, maybe?
Yes, because it falls on the 13th day of Adar.
Okay.
So.
Which were based on
mm-hmm.
celestial beings moving.
Kind of. They have a 13 month.
Got
remember?
It. Okay.
So it takes some adjusting. Different. Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Yeah. One thing that's really interesting is that, remember I said the 13th of Adar?
Yeah.
In some of the other cities, the fighting lasted an extra day.
Right.
So it would be celebrated on the 14th or even 15th.
The only one that they said that it lasted an extra day was the main city there.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of them were only one day.
Right. So there are still two cities in that area of the Middle East that they celebrate it on either the 14th or the 15th of Adar.
Okay.
You know, however that translates.
Sure. Yeah.
So they will not always celebrate it on the same day that American Jews or United Kingdom Jews or, you know, right. any other, like everybody has it a little bit different.
Sure.
Okay. It's celebrated among Jews by, and there's a whole list of things that they do.
Okay.
Okay? The exchanging of gifts of food and drink. And even the poorest Jew is expected to give food to somebody else.
Got it.
Poor.
Got it.
So even sure. the poorest.
There's no excuse. You got to give food.
Yeah. Donating charity to the poor. That
right.
goes along with the exchanging of gifts and food.
Sure.
And drink. They eat a celebratory meal. They do a public recitation of the Scroll of Esther, so they read it aloud.
Okay.
And they recite additions to the daily prayers and the grace that comes after meals.
Yeah.
Which they do a grace after meals, not before meals, as we do
Got it.
Here in America.
Right.
Christians do anyway.
Sure.
The before every meal.
Yep.
They also wear masks and costumes, and they participate in parades, and they drink wine and other alcoholic beverages.
Yeah.
And, okay, that's just the boring, this is what they do, okay?
Sure.
Not that it's boring,
sounds like most holidays. I mean, you know, right, it's a holiday.
It's a holiday, and it's in the spring.
Right.
Okay, here comes the fun bit.
Though. Okay.
Ready?
I'm ready.
When Haman's name is read aloud during the public chanting in the synagogue, his name occurs 54 times, but during the time that his name is pronounced, the congregation will engage in noisemaking to blot out his name. Now, let's not forget, he's supposed to be a descendant of Amalek.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And so there's a whole thing of Amalek's name will disappear from history.
Right.
Not even written on wood or stone.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So this is part of that.
Got it. Okay.
And a custom developed of writing the name of Haman, the offspring of Amalek, on two smooth stones and knocking them together until the name is blotted out. Okay. And some will write the name of Haman on the soles of their shoes. And at the mention of his name, they'll stamp their feet as a sign of contempt.
Mm, interesting. Yeah.
So that's the fun stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I've got a little bit of sadder stuff just to bring it home and remind us that it's history, but it's also not.
Right.
It's very current.
Okay.
Adolf Hitler banned and forbade the observance of Purim.
Of course.
Which makes sense. I mean, he wouldn't want the Jews to celebrate any holiday, but particularly one where they got to kill other people.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And found deliverance. Right.
Yeah. That one specifically goes against, you know, subjugating them.
Yes, exactly. And on Purim in 1942, 10 Jews were hanged to avenge the hanging of Haman's 10 sons. And in a similar incident in 1943, the Nazis shot 10 Jews from one of the main ghettos. And on Purim Eve that same year, over 100 Jewish doctors and their families were shot by the Nazis. And the following day, Jewish doctors were taken and shot. And then in 1942 on Purim, the Nazis murdered over 5,000 Jews, mostly children, in just one ghetto.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And all of the victims were shot and buried alive by the Nazis. So they weren't shot to kill. They were shot
to maim
and cause pain and then buried alive.
Wow.
Yeah. And still, even knowing that all this was going on, in the face of all this, the Nazi regime was defied by the Jews, mm-hmm. and Purim was celebrated in Nazi ghettos everywhere and outside the ghettos as well.
Gotcha.
Like anywhere there was a Jew, period, the end, Purim was definitely being celebrated during this time period, just not just as the holiday itself and but not as just as spite, what it meant, basically. But and out of spite and as a show of strength,
right.
a way of fighting back.
Right. I mean, there was no winning for them. So
no. So they were doing like what we read about. They were like, I will remain true to my faith loud and proud, and I will go down a martyr if that's what need be.
Right.
Which there is something extremely admirable about that.
Yeah. No, definitely.
So, had some fun, but wanted to end it on a serious note just to, you know, remind us that the holiday is both old, but also current today.
Well, and we don't talk about it much, but I mean, the Nazi Holocaust of the Jews is a tragedy that will never be forgotten by this world.
It's a stain on humanity.
And as much as we make fun of Judaism in the Bible,
mm-hmm.
it does not mean that we dislike Jewish people or, you know, I just wanted to clarify this as we're talking about this because it's not.
It's something
some people can misconstrue how you talk about somebody mm-hmm. in one way and make it about something else.
Well, it's come up more than once that we've been concerned that somebody might believe that we're anti-Semitic based on the fact that we're making fun of these things in the Old Testament.
Right.
That, you know, just by stint of what it is, we're making fun of, like you said, Judaism from the Bible.
No, and if I'm speaking from my now self and my now view of Judaism and the Jewish people, I think they're a very strong culture of people who
Very admirable, you know, people.
Yeah, and I respect them very much. I don't believe in their God, right. And I think their God is ridiculous.
Sure. But I think you can hold more than one idea in your head at the same
sure,
time.
For sure, for sure. But they've been through a lot of shit. But and at the same time, that doesn't mean I don't criticize them, because sure. the whole stance of Israel in the Middle East with regard to the Palestinians, I'm not usually on the Israeli side. You know, as much as they are allies with the United States and we live in the United States, I don't generally agree with their actions in Palestine.
I think you should be allowed to have admiration for a people and still be unhappy with their actions.
I agree.
I mean,
well, and just because you have admiration for somebody does not mean that you admire everything about that culture and that people.
I mean,
it means that you can admire the strength of that culture and you can admire people in that culture, but not necessarily the leaders of that culture sometimes.
That can be said the same on a one-on-one relationship. We love each other very dearly, and yet we don't think each other is 100% correct.
Right.
And so if we can say that about two people who are in a long-term relationship, why would we not be able to say it about a larger group of people as a whole?
Well, I think the reason I say it is because I think the world forgets sometimes it's okay to criticize people.
Yeah.
It's okay to criticize as long as you don't hate. Yeah. As long as you don't, I don't know. There's a difference between criticism and hate. And that's the difference that people can't wrap their head around,
yes,
I think.
Yes, yes. I can say that the Bible is silly and a lot of the things in it are silly without saying, and I want to genocide them. Whoa, hold
right.
on.
That's really way too far.
That escalated so far beyond the scope of what we're doing here. And so if anybody listening was under the mistaken impression that we are like anti-Jew, anti-Semitic, anything like that, you're listening to the wrong podcast. That's
yeah.
not who we are.
Yeah.
We are not.
No,
on
if
your
I
team.
Want to do anything with a Jewish person, it would be to sit down and talk to them about their religion and their culture.
That would
like,
be
that
so
would be fun
interesting.
To me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I, you know, you have to find somebody that's able to have that conversation.
Right.
But if you do, I think that learning about other people's culture and discussing it with them and asking questions, there's nothing more interesting to me than that.
I love it.
So,
I absolutely love it.
Yeah. Anyway. Sorry, I just wanted to clarify.
No,
because we're talking about Nazis and the Holocaust and you know, Jews during that time and what they were doing.
Right.
I just wanted to clarify our stance with regard to that, because some people do take criticism of the Old Testament as anti-Semitic.
Right.
So.
And understandably so. I think it bears us reminding ourselves of that every once in a while, of how we might come across, and remind ourselves that, okay, the people then are the same as, but also different from the people today.
Right.
And, you know, understanding that distinction, but also that similarity, and reminding ourselves of our purpose here and reminding ourselves of what we want to avoid and stay away from.
Yeah. I think our purpose is to have a discussion.
Yeah.
And we're doing that.
Yep.
We're having a discussion. And I think in the future, we might continue that discussion with actual people that are in these cultures, and
that
you know,
would
love to do that at some point down the road.
That would be excellent. I'm for that plan.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was our wrap up for Esther.
The book of Esther is done, son.
We got one more episode for Esther. It'll be a contradictions episode, which I think we're going to be doing tomorrow.
Yep.
And then we'll be doing a couple of special episodes, I think, for the book club and the Patreon. And then we'll be getting into, do you know what the next book is? Is it Job?
I think it's Job.
Is it really?
I can double check myself here.
Okay.
And if you need to cut some time here, you can. Cause
I can just fill probably as we're going along here, because it doesn't look like it's going to take you that long.
Esther, Job.
Job. Yep.
Job
All
is
right.
next.
I'm excited about this.
I know.
This.
I'm excited that you're excited, because I've actually read Job before.
Yeah, I have not. So
yeah.
I know some about it, obviously, because it's a very famous book.
Yeah.
And actually, you've told me stuff in the past before we ever started this podcast about it.
Yep.
So,
I mean, we know that God and the devil make a bet.
Yeah.
And you could just stop right there.
Right.
That's
a good start. Right. I'm excited. This was a good story, though. Esther was a good story.
Esther was a good story.
Comparatively speaking.
Sure.
To other stories in the Bible so far.
I mean, it was a well-written story with lots of cliffhangers. And yeah. Yeah, I was involved.
Definitely.
I definitely enjoyed this story.
Yep. All right. Thank you, guys. And like I said, we'll be back tomorrow with our contradictions episode.
Yep. Bye. Husband.
Wife.
Do you know what we're doing today?
We're doing contradictions today for Esther.
False. We're doing you're always wrong.
Why do I always got to be wrong?
That's the game. This is the game.
This is torture.
This is a game it is so fun.
For you?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, you got some good ones?
Okay, sure.
Wow, that's a big sell.
Right?
Awesome.
I can't wait for these. Exactly two. Exactly two.
It was a short book.
It was a short book, yeah. And it wasn't very goddish.
Okay. So. All right. So there you go. All right. Let's get into this, I guess.
Let's. Okay. So we're doing the contradictions. You're always wrong.
Right.
For the book of Esther, which only had 10 chapters, none of which were very Bible-y goddish.
I see.
So.
Unless you're reading the Greek version.
Well, but we're not, though.
Right.
Septuagint.
Right. Right. Right.
Yeah. We are reading the Hebrew, like the quote-unquote normal Bible that you find. Well, I said quote-unquote because it's the one that you're going to find on the bookstore shelves.
Right. You know? In the U.S.
Yeah. That's what I was trying to get to.
Sure. I got
it.
So,
yeah. So there were only two, both of which I was able to use. So, yay.
No, I mean, that's definitely a win.
Right?
Yeah.
Small victories, my
right,
friend.
Right.
Okay. So here's the first question.
Okay.
Is it okay to use perfume?
I don't recall this, but I'm going to go with no, because Esther was trying to not, you know, take advantage of the things that made her more beautiful and stuff.
Well, okay, so you're right in that, no, perfume is for God, not for you. Because in Exodus...
Wait, God uses perfume?
In Exodus chapter 30, verse 37, it says, "As for the perfume which thou shalt make, ye shall not make to yourselves. It shall be unto thee holy for the Lord."
Okay.
Okay.
So why would...
But.
What?
But.
Okay.
You're always wrong.
Obviously.
Obviously. Obviously. Because, yes, Esther did use perfume to impress the king. Okay.
But it was not without pressure, though, right?
Well, I don't know. Let's see. In Esther chapter 2, verses 8 through 12, it says, "Esther was brought also unto the king's house. Now when every maid's turn was come to go in to King Ahasuerus, after that, she had been 12 months according to the manner of the women, for so were the days of their purifications accomplished, to wit, 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 months with sweet odors." So every single one that went to see the king spent a year getting perfumed up.
Right. I guess I'm just basing this on the other bit where, well, this was our dig when we dug into it, the Q&A that we did or whatever. There was the bit where...
But those all came from the Midrash.
Right, right.
So
but there
not...
were stories of her in the Midrash. There's stories of her not wanting to utilize the things that made her more beautiful.
But she those wanted... were not from the Bible.
Right, not from the Bible. I got it. I got
it. So she was one of God's favorite women.
Yeah.
And she used perfume
got
to
it.
Win the king.
Okay.
So
it's all good.
It's all good.
Unless
or
you're
it's
an Exodus.
Not all good.
Right.
Right. It just depends.
Right.
Okay. Okay. Here, the next question I was actually appreciative of. Because remember how they kept referring to Haman as an Agagite? And I had never really heard of Agagites.
Sure.
Well, Agagites are Amalekites.
Okay.
It's the same word interchangeable. Okay?
Okay.
And Amalekites, I don't know if you recall, come from Amalek.
Okay. You've mentioned that in something else we were going over, but
yeah.
I mean, I didn't recall that until you brought it back up.
Right.
So
was Haman an Agagite or Amalekite? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes? Okay. Right. So according to Esther chapter 3, verse 1, After these things, did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were there with him.
Okay.
So, yeah, he was totally an Agagite or an Amalekite.
Right.
So, yes. However, you're always wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Agag and all the Amalekites were killed in a God-ordained genocide, remember?
Yeah, I remember that there was lots of those that he never actually did. But yes, I do remember that.
According to 1 Samuel, not that long ago, I'll remind you.
Right.
Chapter 15, verses 7 and 8. And Saul smote the Amalekites, and he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword.
Mm.
So remember, he killed all the Amalekites.
Yeah, they're all dead.
They're all dead.
Right.
So how is there one?
Because the Bible is always fucking wrong.
Because the Bible says they killed them all, when really what they meant was a lot. They killed a lot of them.
Yeah.
Not
they,
all of
they
them.
They love to like
exaggerate.
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of like when you ask somebody, how many slices of pizza did you have? And then you answer like, oh, one or two. But really you ate like most of the pizza.
Right.
Yeah. You downplay in the places that it's good for you to downplay, but then you exaggerate and make the fish so much bigger than the one you actually caught.
Right, right.
Yeah. So lots of exaggerations in the Bible. Be that as it may, you're always wrong.
Apparently. Apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean,
all in all,
we had a good book to read,
mm-hmm.
and very few contradictions.
And you knew the answers to both of the questions.
I also didn't know the answers to both of the questions.
You knew the answers to the questions insofar as if we were not being bullshitted.
Right.
By a bullshit story in a bullshit book. You knew the correct answers.
Right, right.
Okay?
Yep.
So, you're always wrong, but it's not your fault this time.
Yeah. No, I mean,
it's usually not.
It's very rarely my fault. It's mostly the Bible's fault.
With regard to the Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah. In life, when you're
wrong,
we're
not covering life here. This is that we're covering the Bible.
Yeah. In the Bible, it's seldom your fault.
What's life got to do with our podcast?
Oh, my God. So, anyways.
All right, guys.
That was the book of Esther.
That was the book of Esther. We are done.
We are
done. And we are moving on to Job.
We are. I'm really excited about Job.
Yeah. Yeah. We do have a couple special episodes coming up this weekend. I think we might take one day off just because we're going to reset and start a new week.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll be a little more settled into our new digs.
Right. Oh, and I need to apologize. I thought I had posted yesterday the wrap-up. I thought I had posted it last night to, like, come out this morning. Or, well, as you're getting this one, it'll be yesterday morning. But I didn't. And so I didn't get it out till late last night. And I'm sorry about that.
Sorry, guys.
That was my bad.
That was your bad. You are always wrong.
If you were on Patreon, I did manage to get it on Patreon.
Well.
So you were the lucky few that got it if you were on Patreon.
Yeah.
But
just one more
somehow
reason.
Somehow I didn't click that final button or something on our Acast. So
just one more reason to get on Patreon, because
right.
If we fuck up everywhere else, we're the least likely to fuck up with our loving supporters.
Well, I generally do that one first because mm-hmm. they're supposed to have the earliest access and all that kind of stuff. So mm-hmm. they almost always get things correct
right.
or before mm-hmm. or whatever.
Yeah.
But
fewest mistakes.
That doesn't
are made
mean
with
that
Patreon.
We don't want to get it out to you guys. Like,
no.
I am really sorry I didn't get that out on time.
Totally true.
But that being as it is, I did it and now it's up and you know, sorry.
Now everybody gets it.
And
yay!
Now let's go to Job.
Yes, Job.
All right. Thank you, guys. And we will see you either this weekend for our special episodes or
tomorrow for Job.
Monday.
That's what I said. Monday,
Monday
for Job.
For Job. Because
yeah,
we
so
have the
sorry.
Weekend first
yes.
of special episodes.
Okay, look. Since we moved, I've not had my calendar up. I have no idea what day of the week it is half the time.
Right.
And I'm a mess. I'm just a fucking mess.
Yes.
So, yes, Monday for Job. Sorry, right. sorry, bye.
All right, bye. Hey, wife, I guess that's the end?
But husband, that's just sad.
It doesn't have to be. We are on lots of social media platforms like Twitter. Our handle there is sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh my God. Stop doing that. Anyway, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. There's a link to all of our social media sites at our website.
Ooh, we have a website?
Yeah, it's sacrilegiousdiscourse.com, where you can also find a link to our merch shop.
We have a merch shop?
Yep. We have podcast-themed clothing, mugs, notebooks, and more, as well as an atheist and science-themed products.
Wow, our fans should really go check that out right now.
Definitely. They can get in touch with us by sending an email to sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. But before they do that, we could really use some help.
Oh yeah? With what?
Well, it's not free running the podcast, and we need some financial support in order to get better equipment, which will free up time so we can concentrate on our podcast and our fans.
Okay, so what should they do?
Head over to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse and sign up as a contributor on our podcast. Supporters there receive additional bi-weekly episodes that we record just for our Patreon members for as little as $2 a month.
Also, we'd really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe on whatever platform you're using.
And Apple Podcast reviews help us out tremendously.
Like and subscribe. Leave an Apple review. Join us on Twitter. Support us on Patreon. That's a lot of instructions. Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.